Keith and Lisa.
Lisa, is that right? Hey, Lisa. Good to see you. See you, brother. What's your name?
Keith.
That's right, Keith and Lisa. He just said it. Well, I wasn't listening to him. I was somewhere else. Listen, first, Lisa, God's given you an ability. Hold on. This says the Lord, my daughter. I've put a grace on you and I've put a call on you to care for many, to carry people, to sustain them, to teach, to rebuke, to release them, says God. And I've given you an ability to discern what my call and my will is over people, says God. This is the call on you. You are to carry this burden for people. But I call it a burden, says God. But I know it is not a burden, because that which I call, I enable. I release, I empower, I anoint, says God. And for this purpose, I give you a mouth that can bring, that can heal broken parts of a heart and speak wholeness and rejoining of broken parts of hearts. And I give you hands, says God, to lay hands on the sick. For I am not a God who's only effective in a spiritual area, but I am a God who brings healing to the physical body as well, says God. And I call you my healer, and I say, lay hands on the sick, says God, and you will see them recover. And I tell you, says God, I have all, and I'm prophesying in the first person, I tell you, says God, I have put words in your mouth, and I call you to speak as if you were speaking my words of healing and of restoration to people. And God says, I will send you the weary, and I will send you the confused, and refresh them and give them clarity of mind, says God. And for this purpose, I've also given you a sniffer, a gift of discernment of spirits, that you would know what the spiritual affliction is over people, says God. Further, says God, these gifts and call travel everywhere in the world. Wherever you choose to put your foot, these gifts follow you in that place, says God. My son, I have called you in this time to be as a weather vane, one to sense and declare the moving in the presence of the Holy Spirit. I move upon you strongly, and at times I do not move upon you. All of this has meaning, and I give you understanding in this time, says God, for I've called you to be the direction finder for your family. Even as your wife is the burden bearer for people and for lives and for hearts, I give you direction, and I will speak to you direction and tell you where I am going and what I am doing in this time, says God. And I release this prophetic anointing on you now, says the Lord. Speak up, says God. Speak up. Sort of abrupt, but God says, speak up. So whatever is that in your past that tries to keep you quiet or rob your confidence, you got to go to war against it. That's why I went speak up and said it twice, because you're going to have to go to war over whatever that is from your past. Satan puts bombs in our past, little like landmines. Said, don't step here. And God says, speak up. So whatever that's, anywhere, anything in your past, you need to go back and hammer it to a pulp. Okay? That's sort of violent, but there you go. You got children? Yeah. How many children you got?
Nine.
Or 10? That's number nine. Nine? I got nothing to say. Well, doctor, lawyer, Indian chief. Doctor, lawyer, leader. At least three of your children. There's a leader among them. So don't rule out. God loves this world. And he appoints leaders, including presidents and mayors and police chiefs. Don't ignore this. So there's one there that needs a different kind of flow. Okay? Maybe the one that wants to wear a tie.
So I just saw you guys digging out all sorts of different kinds of wells, different sizes, different depths, manually with your own hands. Wells that have been filled in with debris and mud and neglect. Wells that the enemy had tried to just cover over completely and hide. And you were digging out these wells. And these wells are just people. And there is a very anointed, powerful gift for counseling with the two of you. There's a kind of a combo gift between you that cares for people but can also kind of say hard things if you need to say hard things or bring up hard subjects when they need to be brought up, and to do it in a loving way but not in a fake way or a autocratic kind of way, but is insightful and is able to dig out wells in people. And as I was seeing that, I just saw a line of people coming into this church that are broken in various ways, including addictions. That's one, just one of a clear one that God showed me is addiction. And if the church is not prepared for that, it can really mess you up. Not to sound cold. But if all of a sudden 20% of the people in the room were addicts, that changes things a lot. And some of it's not positive, right? Now, we want those people. Don't get me wrong. But if you think practically about that, if you're not prepared to minister to those people and God sends them, then it becomes a real burden on the leadership to try to manage that. And it can become a negative pretty quick. Sometimes it's God's mercy that he doesn't send people when we want him to. But I think these people are coming, and you guys are part of God's team, I believe, to minister to those people effectively and see them set free without a bunch of time and effort and energy spent. That there's a gift you have to just pray for people or just to see the little root in there to pull out that is sort of the key to the whole thing, and the whole construction of the enemy just falls apart in their life because God gave you a word or gave you a prayer or whatever it was. And so I think you guys really need to pray about getting some training. And like if you decide that this is from God, to actually act on it and not just say, well, God will give us what we need when it happens, because I think if you're not careful, you'll get behind the curve. And you'll still catch up because God's gracious and his gifts are real and his calling is real, right? But it would be nice for once to be ahead of the curve a little bit and to just have some tools in your tool belt, even if it's just to read some books or whatever it is, whatever resources God leads you to, okay? That you would equip yourself so that you understand things like how addiction works and things like that. Because I think your home, though I suspect it's not the quietest place on the planet. It doesn't take a prophet to say that, right? There's a Holy Spirit order about it that is underlying what might look like chaos of 9 kids and all in one house and the toys and the clothes and the laundry alone and the, you know, by the time you're making dinner, you haven't even finished cleaning up lunch because it's just too much and all these things. And probably sometimes you go, oh, we should really be more organized. But there's a Holy Ghost order in that that is a part of what you will impart to people that are broken, because broken people are internally disordered. There's chaos. Their thoughts are not ordered. Their feelings are not submitted to Jesus. They're all over the place. And they're all disordered, and there's chaos in there. And God's going to use you to bring order to people and spiritual order to things in the church, where it's not obsessed with everything being neat and tidy and perfect, but is more obsessed with things feeling like family and life-giving order, that kind of order that you have figured out with your family. And God's going to take that and apply it to people. Amen.
As you took your seat tonight, I just heard the Lord saying, my elders, my leaders, they feed my sheep in different ways, but they serve and they feed my sheep. And the Lord says, well done. He doesn't take lightly what you've done. You've been discouraged at times, and brothers, you were being prophesied tonight. I really had a strong sense that there were times that you were maybe even placed in position where someone could say even used, and not even a thank you, but yet you've poured because you've done it for the Lord. And you've chosen to stay encouraged. Well done. You've kept your attitudes right. You've kept your heart right. When you could have looked and nitpicked, you were like, no, we're not going to look at that. We're just going to onward for the prize. And the Lord sees that heart. He sees that attitude. He sees that you've chosen the joy of the Lord. And he says that this is a season of upgrade for the two of you. I'm upgrading you. I'm upgrading things around you. The key word for you this season is upgrade. So as you do things, look for them to say, we're going to upgrade you. Because with that, that's a prophetic statement over your life. As you do what I've called you to do, and as you've been obedient, God says, I will move forth and bring new things that will just be blessings to your life. Just to show you how he's smiling over your household. Brethren, there's something about you and the carpet. There's something about you and carpet time. You wouldn't be who you are without that time alone to just draw from his presence, without that time alone to hear from him. And at times you're pulled and you're like, I need to do a few other things, but I just need this carpet time. I need this time. And God says he's lifting off that condemnation or whatever that is, that thing that comes to you. And the Lord says that he knows that you need that is part of who you are. It's that getting away. It's that time of worshiping. It's that time of just being with him so that you can come out of that place and just speak, thus saith the Lord, and sing, thus saith the Lord, and just begin to release that sound that God wants released. Yeah. Yeah. There's something about you in that carpet time. That's all right. He's saying to you, that's all right. It's part of who you are. And out of that place, I recharge your batteries. Out of that place, I lift off old burdens. Out of that place comes that new strategy for you and yours, says the Lord. You're being upgraded. I'm turning up the volume in your voice to sound like pastors. I'm turning up that pastoral anointing in your life. Oh, it's there. Everyone, it's been recognized. It's there. But he's turning it up. He's putting it on blast. Where before your cell phone used to kind of vibe silently, God's turned up the ring. Everyone in the room hears it now. Because you love me. You've been serving in my house. You've been feeding my sheep. And I sense that that's a high statement of the Lord over you. They feed my sheep. They serve. And that's important to God. It's weighty. So tonight, well done. Well done, says the Lord. Celebration, upgrade, amen. New level, new season, new momentum, these amazing things prophesied over you. It's because you've chosen to serve with the best that's in your heart and not look at anything else, but you've done it for the Lord. Amen. Yes, you need to have a big car, but you're called to have a big car and a big house and food and provision and all the things that you need. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all those things. The Lord says, it's not your job to bring those things forth. That's my responsibility. And I say to you today, I lift that off of your shoulders. The striving, the worry, the concern, and all those areas where that can get a little grinding. God says, I'm lifting that off, and I'm just bringing an assurance this night to the two of you. That's my role. That's what I do, says the Lord.
I'm going to pray over you the comment that Alan made that I've shared with you. Father, I thank you that you've taken these two who have been healthy plants and you've put them in a bigger pot, Lord God, so that their roots can go deep and that their fruit will increase, Lord God. We thank you for this son and daughter, and we thank you, Lord, that you've placed them here with us. And we just say yes and amen to the things that you've spoken over them. I pray, Lord God, that their hearts would receive it all, that you would give them grace and courage and stamina to do those things, Lord. And we just seal it to them. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
So, brother, you work... Keith, what do you do for a living?
Title insurance.
Okay. God says you're going to be tossed five easy pitches, and you're going to hit them out of the park. I don't know what that means, but somehow, concerning the business, five easy pitches, maybe in a new area or something, you're going to hit the ball out of the park.